Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Last year, we had spoken on a relationship with Allah, and we have of Him in Ramadan 14:21 from Anfas-e Isa, because these are composed from the discourses of Mufti Taqi Usman in the month of Ramadan. This year, 1422 AH Ramadan, we will speak on Mawlana Tanwiz alayhi rahma sayings in Anfas-e Isa on fear and hope. Fear and hope. Al-Qawfi wal-Raja. Faith or Iman is between fear and hope. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Imanu bayna al-Qawfi wal-Raja. Iman is between fear and hope. Fear and hope. Fear and hope. The invisible manners and deeds that a person must adopt include fear and hope. These are the invisible manners and deeds. People can't see it. Invisible manners and deed, fear and hope. Fear, what is fear? Fear is to fear Allah, because if a person does not fear Allah, then he's negligent and will commit sin. Hope is to have hope in Allah and His mercy after the fear. It is to have hope in Allah and His mercy after the fear. When the two things are together, faith is perfect, Iman is perfect. The hadith says that Iman is between fear and hope. Al-Imanu bayna al-Qawfi wal-Raja. If a correct balance is struck between that fear and that hope, if a correct balance is struck, then Iman is perfect. A person must have only as much fear as is necessary, not less, not more. And so with hope, which must not be less or more than necessary. Such Iman is perfect and kamil. Both are necessary. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said that fear and hope are two wings by which the righteous fly to Jannah from this world. Just as Mawlana Zakaria, Sheikhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakaria Khandalwi, rahimahullah, nawwarallahu marqadahu, had mentioned in his book on Zikr, he said this work of Dawat and Tabliq moves on two wings. It's like a bird, Dawat and Tabliq. It will move and fly with two wings, and it will fly to great heights if the two wings are there. You say one of the wings is ilm, and the other wing is dhikr. If you don't have ilm, then you get what? Jahalat. If you don't have dhikr, you get nafsaniyat and shaitaniyat. So he says this work of Dawat and Tabliq needs these two wings, and it will go to great places like the Sahaba, like Madani Sahaba. So too, Imam Ghazali said that fear and hope, Kauf and Raja, are two wings by which the righteous fly to Jannah. They fly to Jannah from this world. Hence it is necessary to have them both. Allah mentions at many places in the Quran that it is necessary to have them, both of them. In Surah Sijda, Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ. Their sides separate from their beds. That's at the time of Tahajjud. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ calling upon their Rabb. Khawfan wa tama, calling upon their Rabb. Why? Because of fear and because of hope. Because of fear and hope. Or they call on him while they are afraid of him and while they are hopeful of him, in fear and hope. Allah says, mentions both of them. Hope of mercy, fear of all. You will see in the Quran that Allah does not mention Jannat and Jahannam, paradise and hell separately. Both are named together, and there is no exception. By describing Jannah, he creates hope of mercy, rahmat, in the hearts of the people. And by describing Jahannam, he grows khawf, fear in people's hearts. Thus he says in Surah Al-Hijr, Nabbi ibadi, inform my slaves, Anni an al-Ghafur al-Rahim, that I am al-Ghafur, most forgiven, al-Rahim, most merciful. Wa anna adhabi, and inform my slaves that my adhab and chastisement, huwa al-adhabul alim, is the real painful, grievous adhab and chastisement. Both things are passed on together. Ghafoor, tell them, Allah says, Nabbi ibadi, let my servants know, let my slaves know that I am Ghafoor and I am also Rahim. But at the same time, let them know what? Wa anna adhabi huwa al-adhabul alim. My adhab is the real adhab, it's the painful adhab. So both things are passed on together, just as in the verse of Sajda, Tatajaffa junubuhum anil madhaji, yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a. Mercy and rahmat demands that a person hopes for Allah's mercy. His punishment expects us to fear Allah. When a man takes the two things together, then he will have his faith perfect and his iman kamil. How much fear? But how much fear now? How much khawf? If a person is gripped with fear alone, then even that is dangerous. If there is not hope, then life will become an unbearable burden and there will be despair. He will find no refuge. When anyone has no hope, then it is a dangerous situation and he perishes. Man stops eating and drinking and cannot do anything in the world, and he becomes depressed. He might even think of suicidal nature. Ma'adhallah, kudana kasta. He stops eating, drinking, cannot do anything in the world because too much of fear and too much of despair. The Prophet, the Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ahli baytihi, wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. He told us how much fear we need in a dua. His duas are full of ilm. So the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam also asked Allah for fear, for khawf. But how much fear? So he said, Allahumma qsim lana min kashyatik. O Allah, distribute and give unto us something of your fear, something of your kashyat. How much fear to give to us? Ma tahulu bihi bainana wa baina ma'asik. That amount which will obstruct us from your sins. That amount which will come as a wall and a barrier between us and between your sins. That amount of fear coming between us and your sins and disobedience. That amount of fear. He showed us how much fear. He did not ask simply for fear, you know. Rather, he prayed, O Allah, give me so much fear that acts as a barrier between me and disobedience to you. If anyone fears Allah absolutely and it overcomes everything, then his life becomes a menace. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made another dua. He said what? Allahumma inni as'aluka makhafatan, while I ask you for fear, tahjuzuni, that will bar me and prevent me and come as a wall between me and mercy I take on your disobedience. While I pray to you for so much of khawf and fear as prevents me from disobeying, both doers. So he specified, and because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified the limit of fear. So fear has a had. Don't go beyond that. Otherwise, they get frustrated. Difference. Now, there's a delicate difference between fear and taqwa. Ma huwa al-farq? What's the difference between khawfa ilahi and taqwa? What's the difference? The word taqwa is repeated in the Quran at some places, and the word khawf, fear, is used at some places. Allah says about taqwa in Surah Al-Imran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ayman walu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, cultivate the taqwa of Allah. How much? Haqqa tuqatihi, as is Allah's right. Fear him, observe taqwa of Allah, as is Allah's right. But he did not say about kawf. Nowhere in the Quran Allah says about kawf that so much must be shown as is Allah's right. Only that for taqwa is said. Haqqa tuqati, not haqqa kawfihi. Because there is a difference between the two, a delicate difference. Kawf means fear outright. It overawes a person and it weighs on his mind and his heart. And it's a hal and condition, outright fear. It weighs on his mind and heart. Taqwa is not an outright fear. But it is a condition, a hal. Taqwa is a hal that grows from fear. Taqwa is a hal, a condition that grows from fear. Meaning, a person worries. What is he worried about? He whom I fear, I may not displease. He, Allah, whom I fear, I may not displease. I don't want to displease him. It's a fear of displeasing him. This is taqwa. So khawf is to fear, and taqwa is to keep away from sin. Hifazat karna, apne aap ko bachana, to save oneself. Ittaqun nar, save yourselves from the fire. Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum. So taqwa is to prevent oneself, to save oneself, to keep away from sin. Keep away from sin. Apne aap gunaho se bachana. Saving oneself, keeping away from sin. And why are you doing that? Because of the fear. So because of khawf, because of fear of Allah, because of fear of Allah, to save oneself from sin and to keep away from sin, this is taqwa. So the fear that Allah is all-powerful and will seek revenge, dhu intikam, and his punishment is severe, and he has prepared hell and jahannam for it, this is khawf. All of this is khawf. If you stop lying because of this fear, Allah is all powerful, qadir-e mutlaq. Allah is intikam wala. Allah will seek revenge. Allah's adab, punishment is severe. He has prepared hell and jahannam for it. This is khawf. And if you stop lying now because of this fear, then it is taqwa. And if you refrain from backbiting because of this fear, then it is now taqwa, saving oneself. Abrogator and abrogated. Some ulama say that the following verse is mansukh, abrogated. Which verse? Ya ayyuhalladhina manuttaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. O you who believe, fear Allah as he deserves to be feared. Observe the taqwa of Allah as is his right. Some ulama said this verse is abrogated, mansukh. And what abrogates it? The nasikh and the abrogator is the verse which came afterwards, wherein Allah mentioned, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah, مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ, to the best of your ability. Fear Allah within your capacity. So in one ayat, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati. Fear Allah, observe the taqwa of Allah as is his right, as is the right of the taqwa. And the other verse, ittaqullah, observe the taqwa of Allah to your ability, mastata'tum. So the command to observe the taqwa of Allah as is his right, as he should be feared, as the right of his taqwa, that caused, when it was revealed, it caused much worry to the Sahaba. Much worry to the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. How could we give that right? So this command was replaced by the verse 16 of Surah At-Takabun, that Allah says, Fattakullah, fear Allah, mastata'tum. Observe so much taqwa as is within your ability, your powers. So the demand of his right was then withdrawn. The demand of his right was withdrawn. The second verse explains the first. However, other scholars say that the second verse explains the first verse. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were afraid that they could not give Allah's right in respect of taqwa, and they were concerned about the verse, ittaqullah haqqa tuqati, then Allah revealed the verse that the right depends on your ability. Fattakullaha mastata'tum. Second verse came down about taqwa. Fattakullaha mastata'tum. In other words, there is no undue demand of taqwa. For Allah does not charge anyone beyond his capacity. No. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. So the second verse explains the first verse. So there is no nasik and no mansuk. Both are there, says some ulama. And the second verse just explains the first verse. What is meant? La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Chapter on fear in the Ihya'ul Ulum. The conclusion we derive is that fear, khawf, is not demanded to such an extent as creates dejection. And so much taqwa is demanded as in one's capacity. Imam Ghazali's book, Ihya'ul Ulum, is a great book. My father, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahmatul Alayh, said, however, that its chapter on Kauf must not be read in one sitting, but in several sittings, little by little. If anyone reads the entire chapter on fear and Kauf in one sitting, he might be overcome with so much fear that exceeds the demand. And many people have suffered because of that, and their minds were upset and they despaired. This far we spoke about fear. Moderation is demanded also in having hope. The second thing is raja, or hope. One must have hope in Allah's rahmat and mercy, but it must be within limits. Otherwise, beyond limit, it is a deception or arrogance. How does that happen? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us about the type of hope and what is hope and what's deception. He said, "Wal ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna 'ala Allah." That the ajiz, ahmak, simple, silly, helpless, incompetent one, is he who lets his nafs, he lets his self, his nafs, seek the desires and passions and commit sins, and at the same time, wa tamanna 'ala Allah. At the same time, he has this tamanni. He places hope in Allah that when he is told that what he does is disallowed, when he is told that what he does is disallowed and haram, so he says that Allah is all forgiven, Allah is merciful, wa tamanna 'ala Allah. He is under deception. That is not raja. This is not hope. It's arrogance and deception. Hence, let hope be within its limits so that it does not turn into deception. And let fear remain within its limits so that it does not lead to despair. Both should be restricted within their limits. How to know their limits? The question arises, How may a person maintain both these things within their limits? The science of tasawuf is useful here. The sheikh guides the disciple in this case. He leads his disciple and murid to the correct degree of fear and hope. Fear and hope. This is the real objective of tasawuf and of turning to a mentor. Today people imagine that tasawuf is that the sheikh guides the disciple to chant tasbihats in the morning and evening. While these do help in reforming a person, but they are not the real objective. The sheikh helps a disciple to practice the invisible deeds like khawf and raja, fear and hope, and to refrain from the undesirable. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali has spoken here on both fear and hope so that we may live between the two and strike the correct balance that one's iman may be kamil and perfect. You're not allowed to despair. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Ali teaches us in one of his sayings, intellectual despair is a blameworthy meaning. If one is convinced that he will never find mercy, and he is convinced that his present condition is not such as warrants any mercy at all, if anyone believes that he will never receive Allah's mercy, then this is called despair. It is blamed and not allowed for a believer. La yajuz. He should never despair. It's not permissible for him to despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar, Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O my slaves who have committed wrong upon themselves. Asrafu ala anfusihim. Who have wronged themselves and committed much extremities against themselves. O my slaves. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives the sins entirely. So do not give up hope of His mercy, no matter how grave a sin one may have committed and how evil a sin. Allah's mercy envelops you once you make a true tawbah and once you say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayhi. At the spur of the moment, Allah will purify you of all sins. There's no doubt in that whatsoever. So a Muslim can never suffer from despair. Why the anxiety if Allah is with you? Only He may give up hope who has not been given these assurances and whom Allah has not shown these ways. Allah has made it clear that He has kept open the door of Tawbah, and it will be left open till a person dies. Then why the despair? The Maulana says, He who has Allah on his side, why does he show anxiety? He who has Allah on his side, why does he show anxiety? Hence, if you are worried after committing a sin, make a prompt repentance, turn to Allah and pray for forgiveness, and in future try to avoid the sin. And never sit down to think of your sins at different times. Say, well, let me sit down here and think about all my sins, what I did. No. Never sit down to think of your sins at different times. The time so consumed is better spent in making dhikr. Better you make dhikr. Say, Subhanallah. And repent. Repent to Allah. Confessing your sins and praying in a general way. Allahumma inni tubtu ilayk. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. O Allah, your mercy, your rahmat, O Allah, is all encompassing, so wasir, and I repent. Do not despair. To lose hope is to fall prey to the devil. To lose hope is to fall prey to the devil. Result of being overcome by desperation. Sometimes a person is overawed by circumstances and is overcome too much of fear and hopelessness. This is very bad, to become overcome by too much fear and hopelessness. This is very, very bad, to be overcome by desperation. Subhanallah. He becomes constricted and does not feel inclined to worship or to repent. He loses the zeal to even do ibadat now or to repent. And all he thinks is that he is far removed from Allah's mercy. He needs to consult a sheikh and to be careful. A sheikh once had a murid with this kind of a problem. And the murid thought of himself as a devil. That's how the murid used to think of himself. He thought of himself as a devil who is bound to go to hell. So much of desperation and hopelessness. Thought of himself as a devil who is bound to go to hell. But the sheikh summoned him and asked him, Tell me whose creature is the devil? The devil is whose creature? Know that the devil too is Allah's creature no matter what. But know that the devil is also Allah's creature. He alone created him. So tell me, why then do you fear? He heard this, and this was so moving and touching to him. His problem was resolved. Allah cleared his evil condition. So a sheikh has to examine one to know how to treat him. This is why the Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said that the conviction that Allah's mercy cannot cover one, that is hopelessness and it is blamed. We must keep away from it. How does despair arise? Despair grows. Despair grows and it creeps in and grows by thinking poorly of the deeds. Beware of thinking poorly of the deeds that Allah has enabled one to do. Allah has enabled us to do it, but we think poorly of it. Despair grows gradually. We often say, our salat is poor. My namaz is bekar, useless. My salat is poor. Such a thought is underestimating our worship. We must not do so. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to say that we must first show gratitude for the ability to worship. Alhamdulillah. Show gratitude for the ability to worship. For how many there are who are not even inclined to worship? So first, express gratitude saying, Ya Allah, I am enabled through your favor to do worship. Alhamdulillah, wallahi, thank you for that. But the next step now is make istighfar after this salat. After giving thanks, say, O Allah, I have not offered the salat in a proper manner and have left much to be desired in it. So I make istighfar for it. Astaghfirullah for my shortcomings. Hence, after you have offered the salat, say, Alhamdulillah, and also say, Astaghfirullah. And after that, never undervalue your salat, because that drives one gradually to despair. When you start to undervalue your deeds, it starts to drive you gradually to despair. You may begin to think that your worship is not even accepted. Rather, thank Allah and say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Hence give thanks for the ability and make istighfar for the shortcoming. Do it all your life. Do it all your life. In fact, every deed that you do, make it a habit after your deed to say Alhamdulillah, to thank Allah for the tawfiq and astaghfirullah for the shortcomings. Inshallah, you will never ever despair again. Do this and you will never despair again. May Allah cause us to abide by that. As we come close to Ramadan, there are two short topics again. And then we have finished with the spiritual discourses. Hopefully tomorrow after Asr, we will finish out the two small topics, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. the clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't